So according to numerous news reports, including the Wall Street Journal, the EPA is finally about to revoke the 2009 so-called endangerment finding. And this is under EPA Director Lee Zeldin, who is one of the few administration officials that I've overall been pretty happy with because he stopped all these fraudulent grants that the EPA was sending out, which is just money laundering anyway. And now he's going to stop this endangerment finding. Now, the endangerment finding has been the pillar of all these laws of, you know, restricting combustion engine emissions and cracking down on energy use and demanding these insane, impossible miles per gallon efficiencies from automakers and things like that. The endangerment finding is essentially the foundation for federal greenhouse gas regulation. And the finding had claimed this whole time that CO2, which is, you know, plant fertilizer, it's plant food in the air, that these gases, quote, threaten the public health and welfare of current and future generations. And thus, from that endangerment finding alone, the EPA gave itself a massive amount of new power without any laws, without congressional approval, without voter approval. It gave itself new powers, and this was under Obama, of course, to basically terrorize America's businesses and to shut down economic productivity and calling it, you know, saving the planet. But of course, CO2 was never a threat to humanity. CO2 is necessary to grow crops. CO2 is necessary for rainforests to flourish. CO2 obviously is part of photosynthesis. You can't have plants without CO2 in the air. And we barely have any CO2. It's just slightly over 400 parts per million in the atmosphere. And plants are starving for it. In fact, as CO2 levels have slowly risen over the last few decades, it's caused the regreening of many areas of Earth that were either deserts or semi-arid areas that are now becoming grasslands or light forests. And this has been proven out by NASA photos over the decades. I think since 1975, these photos have shown the greening of Earth. So the more CO2 that's in the atmosphere, the greener Earth becomes. Even though the climate cultists, who don't understand anything about science, they claim that CO2 is bad for the planet, and somehow they even claim that carbon dioxide is bad for plants, which is crazy. And this is what led them to these insane schemes that even, I think, Bill Gates was involved in some of these, where they would purchase millions of acres of forest, and they would cut down all the trees and bury them, claiming they were saving the planet. So only in the lunatic minds of climate cultists could you kill millions of trees and claim you're saving the planet. Because that's insane, right? That's completely insane. And also, basic science obviously says that carbon dioxide is necessary for food crop production. It's necessary for pollination plants everywhere. If you want to have pollinators, you know, honeybees and bumblebees and whatever pollinates, you better have plants with flowers. And higher levels of CO2 allow more flowering. And did you also know that higher levels of CO2 produce more nutrients in food crops? That's right. It's look it up. You can find the proof of that yourself if you want to. So low levels of CO2 starve the crops and end up starving humanity. In fact, the entire climate change cult and hoax, it is a giant hoax, is really part of a global depopulation agenda to create food scarcity and starve the planet and also deprive Western civilization of energy. And we now are paying a steep price for that as China is winning the AI race, the race to superintelligence, which depends on affordable power to power the data centers where the AI development is taking place. That's why China is winning with these breakthrough models like DeepSeek and Qwen and Kimi K2 and others. China's winning. While the West, what do we have in America? The entire Eastern power grid is totally tapped out. You can't add any more data centers to it. We've hit the limit. And why? Why do we have a limit like that? Because of Obama and Biden and the climate cultism that said energy is bad. And we can't use energy. We can't burn natural gas. We can't have coal-fired power plants. They were even opposed to nuclear power, which doesn't even emit CO2. It's crazy. They said we have to have just wind turbines and solar, which I agree, wind turbines and solar can definitely assist. But since we still don't have good battery technology for grid shifting, wind and solar alone can't power a modern technological society, because you need data centers to run at night and when it's raining and when it's cloudy. And again, when it's night, because it turns out that night happens every night. I mean, imagine that. The climate lunatics still have never figured that out. They think that the sun is shining 24/7 everywhere on the planet, which isn't possible. So the EPA is going to yank this foundational declaration, which was always junk science to begin with. So Lee Zeldin said, quote, "This amounts to the largest act of deregulation in the history of the United States." Interesting, huh? And this will end the climate crisis fraud. And you notice that every crisis that we've lived through for the last few decades has been fake, like COVID-19, totally engineered fake pandemic, right? And the climate crisis, completely fake, totally made up by Al Gore and others. You know, it was a globalist agenda, ultimately trying to achieve the same thing as the COVID-19 pandemic, which was depopulation. You know, get people to take the jabs, get people to stop using energy, get people to starve because the farms can't produce as much food, you know, dim the sky, block the sun, and stratospheric aerosol injection. They're literally trying to block the sun, which is something that maybe Satanists would want to do, you know, but not normal people who want life to exist on this planet. I mean, you'd have to be like cosmically evil to think that blocking the sun would be good for the plants on Earth, when plants need photosynthesis, obviously. But this is what, again, this is what radical leftists and climate cultists believe, and it just shows you that their beliefs are rooted in wildly irrational, highly destructive, fake belief systems. But, you know, those fake belief systems permeated the entire scientific community since 2009. And if you ran a science lab at a university, or, you know, you have a couple of graduate students and you're running some kind of project, the only way that you ever got grant money is if you claim to be working on some project that would prove that climate change was real. I mean, there are grants in other areas, obviously, you know, optics or whatever. But if you were dealing with the area of atmospheric science or agriculture or anything related to climate, you had to conclude that climate change was real and that it was urgent and that it was a crisis. And then you would get government grant money from the NIH or other providers. So it was a science laundering scheme. They laundered the fake science to make money to pay themselves so they could keep on producing fake science that the government wanted. So the government was basically buying fake science the way a DC politician would buy a cheap hooker. They were just buying what they wanted. And so therefore it didn't resemble science at all. It wasn't science. It was all theater this entire time. So Interior Secretary Doug Burgum said in an interview recently, he said, quote, "More energy drives human flourishing." And he's right. He continues, "Energy abundance is the thing that we have to focus on, not regulating certain forms of energy out." Yeah, he's correct. He's correct. If you don't have abundant, affordable energy, you don't have a civilization that's moving forward. And you will lose the AI wars, 100%. And you will lose in terms of industrial output or industrial competitiveness. And if you wonder, why can China manufacture so many things so much more affordably than the United States, and especially more affordably than Western Europe, it's because China has lower energy costs and also lower labor costs and, you know, fewer environmental restrictions. But energy costs are the biggest part of that equation. And in Europe right now, most of Western Europe, energy costs are through the roof. And on the East Coast of the United States, you've got electricity costs that are as high as, in some places, like 35 cents a kilowatt hour. And I think in Hawaii, it's very high there as well. In China, it can be, you know, a fraction of that. It can be 5 cents a kilowatt hour in some areas, or certainly under 10 in most areas of China. So China can produce AI cognition at a fraction of the price of the United States. And that matters. That matters for competitiveness. That matters for the race to superintelligence, which also, ultimately, that means that's the race for new science, because almost all of the new science in the years ahead is going to be conducted by AI, not by humans. Humans won't be doing the research. The research will be done by AI burning tokens and burning electricity. So if you don't have electricity, you can't really do much science. Seriously, that's where this is all going. It's already happening. Okay? It's already happening. So this is actually good news for America. We need to unleash the energy infrastructure of this country. And right now, yeah, that means pipelines. It means natural gas, which is abundant in North America. And it means oil, which is also abundant around in and around North America. However, the longer term shift is clearly going to go to either cold fusion or hot fusion, or much greater efficiencies in things like solar panels, combined with advances in battery technology that are no longer just theoretical. They're very real. Two companies out of China right now, BYD and CATL, C-A-T-L, they have just announced breakthrough battery technology using sodium ion chemistry. CATL uses that. Plus, of course, they have lithium ion chemistry, lithium iron phosphate typically. But BYD, I think, just announced a sodium sulfide battery chemistry, if I'm getting that right. I'm going to have to dig into that one a little bit more to find out what they're doing. The thing is, these batteries can cycle now tens of thousands of times, which makes them perfect for daily use to shift solar panel energy, you know, into these batteries during the daylight hours, and then have the batteries draw down at night, and then have it cycle, you know, every day as the sun comes up and goes down, etc. Now, lithium was horrible for that because it could only handle a couple thousand cycles, and then you would lose much of the capacity. And also, lithium lost lots of efficiencies in extreme cold weather, whereas this new battery technology functions very well across a broad spectrum of temperatures, and it also doesn't have runaway thermal events, i.e. my batteries blew up, you know, giant fire that nobody can put out, things like that. In addition, the new battery chemistry is a fraction of the price, like 10% of the price of what lithium ion was just 2 years ago. So what this means is that suddenly solar and wind also become much more viable because of the battery technology. But Trump has, you know, tariffs on China. So we can't get the batteries from China. We can't even buy the EVs made in China, even though they're the best cars in the world now, by far. China has the best vehicles in the world. Blows away Tesla, blows away Ford, blows away everything made in America or Europe, blows away, you know, Saab and Volvo and everything else that you can think of, Volkswagen, right? Blows it all away. But you're not allowed to buy them because the American people are being cut off from Chinese technology, including Chinese battery technology. That's on purpose. It's to force America to use more fossil fuels because it's the natural gas people and the oil people that donate strongly to the Trump campaign, you see, or, you know, the GOP in general. So they want America addicted to hydrocarbons. And I agree that we need to use hydrocarbons right now, but we also need to expand the infrastructure to non-hydrocarbon energy sources. And that means being able to acquire advanced battery technology from China. Now, we tried to build those batteries in America. There was a company called Natron that was going to build sodium ion batteries. I think they were out of Minnesota, and they had a factory that was in, I think, Atlanta, that it was supposed to be a $1.5 billion factory. Yeah, they went bankrupt 6 months ago or whatever it was. So we don't make any batteries in America that are the new chemistry or breakthrough sodium ion or anything like that. We got to get them from China or maybe South Korea, but South Korea is kind of behind China. Nevertheless, if we don't start bringing in battery technology, we're never going to be able to grow our energy infrastructure. So hopefully the EPA recognizes this. And there's one more factor in all this that's really critical, which is that Trump, America has all these economic sanctions against Russia. And the upshot of that is that we haven't been able to get the gas turbines that turn natural gas into electricity. You know, you run a giant turbine generator, and that's how you can power the grid with sometimes, you know, 300 megawatts or 1 gigawatt of energy. It's a giant gas turbine. Well, Russia makes the best gas turbines, or at least they're up there in the top two or three. But we can't buy them because we have economic sanctions against Russia. So there's a long wait time, like years. I've covered this before. It's 5 to 10 years wait time to get gas turbines. So even if you have natural gas in America, you can't turn it into electricity because you don't have the turbines. And the wait time is years, like I just said. So, you know, you can't just take gas out of the ground and just pump it into the electric wires. It doesn't work that way. you have to rotate, you know, a coil of copper in order to have alternating current, right? That's how generators work. And if you can't rotate it, you got nothing. So all the oil in the world, you know, isn't useful unless you have a generator that burns the oil, or all the gas in the world isn't useful unless you have gas turbines, etc. And all the solar is not that useful unless you have batteries. So it's these intermediary technologies that are missing. It's the missing link to America's energy abundance. And you know what the missing link really is all about? It's about the fact that Trump has become isolationist and has cut off America from China and Russia. Because, again, Russia provides the turbines, China provides the batteries. If we were engaged in trade with Russia and China, our domestic energy infrastructure would be much stronger, much more abundant, and electricity prices would be plummeting. And, you know, the average American voter would be able to afford to buy groceries more because they wouldn't have to pay a double or triple power bill, which is what's happening to many of them right now, especially during the colder months. So if you're wondering why your electricity costs so much, it's because of Trump's tariffs and Joe Biden's economic sanctions against Russia. But Trump's trade war with China is continuing this. That's why we need gas turbines. We need batteries. If we have those, we've already got plenty of sunlight, and we can get solar panels from, you know, India or Japan, if we have, or South Korea. We can get solar panels. They don't have to come from China. We've got plenty of sunlight. We've got plenty of deserts. We could cover the deserts with solar panels, or you wouldn't even need to. You know, just a small portion would be enough. But we don't have the battery technology. And that's because Trump cut us off. So I would say that, you know, what Lee Zeldin is doing is very positive here, because the CO2 climate cultism was always a hoax. That's not endangerment. But you know what is endangerment? Is tariffs. The tariffs are endangerment. That's endangering the U.S. economy by cutting us off from those intermediary technologies that we need in order to achieve energy abundance and also low-cost energy. I mean, think about it. The competitiveness with China is becoming a really critical issue. For example, China recently announced a new gas pipeline deal with Russia that will pipe, I think it was 50 billion cubic meters of gas per year from the Yamal gas fields, I believe, in northwest Russia, across Mongolia into northern China, into the industrial center of the cities of northern China. That's dirt cheap energy. Dirt cheap energy. China's going to be paying a fraction of what Europe pays, or even a fraction of what America pays, because China's willing to engage in trade. And Trump won't allow trade with Russia or China. So we, the American people, we end up paying through the nose while Trump's donors get rich by selling overpriced gas to the world, including Europe, and ultimately what will become, you know, overpriced kilowatt hours on the power grid, which is already happening on the East Coast. Those of you living on the East, or any of those 13 states served by, what is it, the JPM grid, I think it's called, you're already paying double or triple what you should be paying. Those are all stemming from decisions made by either Trump or Biden. Those decisions can be reversed, but they're not. So you're going to keep paying through the nose. The only good news to all of this is that as battery technology becomes more widely available and distributed, you'll be able to go completely off grid pretty soon. I'm anticipating within a couple of years, you'll be able to buy a boatload of cheap solar, funnel it into your own cheap sodium ion batteries that will cycle for 100 years and also that don't explode and burn up in your garage. And you'll be able to just cut yourself off from the grid and just use sunlight to power everything that you need for your home because of the battery technology. So the grid is becoming too expensive to use. And between now and the year 2030, I am predicting we're going to see a mass of people, huge numbers of Americans, are going to cut the cord to the power company, and they're going to go 100% off-grid. And I will be one of them, and I'll tell you how it goes. You know, I'll report everything that works because, of course, I'm up on this. I study the battery chemistry. You know, I keep up with news out of China. You know, I speak Chinese. I lived in Taiwan, and, you know, I'm monitoring the situation very closely. And as soon as we can get some viable grid shifting batteries that are economical and safe and can cycle effectively, I'll bring you the news. In fact, I'll set up a whole demo for you. I'll set it up in my new studio. We'll just demo the whole thing for you right there. And maybe we'll just take the whole studio off the grid. Just power the whole studio with nothing but solar and batteries to show you how it's done and to show you how inexpensive it's going to become compared to what it has been in the past. You know, previously, solar has never made economic sense. Not really. The payback time was too long, 20 or 25 years. That's changing dramatically because of the rising cost of kilowatt hours of electricity. So the payoff time of solar is, you know, shrinking to maybe 7 years. And it's going to shrink even more to 5 years or 4 years. And at some point, it's just idiotic not to go completely off-grid once the batteries are cheap and safe and effective and the solar panels are cheap and effective, etc. And the real asset you're going to have is how much land you have to where you can erect solar panels. So if you have a really tiny yard and a small roof, you know, you can't really generate that much solar because there's a limit of how much efficiency you can have for every square meter of sunshine, you know, that strikes your roof or strikes a solar panel. And that efficiency is not going to take huge leaps forward, by the way. It's going to be around, I don't know, 30 to 34% or something in that range. And that's about it. You're not going to get 90% efficient solar panels ever. The physics don't work. So you're going to get, you know, like 35% efficiency. So you're just going to need more land. If you have more land, you can erect more solar panels. I mean, you just throw them out in the yard or whatever, you know, put them on little cheap stands or whatever. They don't have to track or tilt or anything. It'll all average out. You just, you know, based on your latitude, you know, you pick an angle that works for most of the year. Or if you want to change the angle like twice a year, you can increase efficiency, you know, 10 to 20%. But that's up to you. Nevertheless, the way this is going, people are going to collect their own energy. They're going to store it in their own batteries. And then they're going to have their own local AI. They're going to power their AI from sunlight. They're going to power their robots and their EVs from sunlight. And even one of the things I'm looking forward to, I've mentioned before, is because I own heavy equipment on my ranch, you know, like a skid steer and a mini excavator, things like that for, you know, projects, moving dirt and doing permaculture, things like that. And so I can't wait until those go battery powered, because a battery powered excavator is actually becoming viable. I used to mock such an idea a few years ago because, you know, it wasn't viable, but it's going to become viable within a few years. And skid steers, same thing. You'll be able to run on batteries for maybe 1 to 2 hours, which is fine for a lot of projects. And then you plug it back in and you charge it. You know, that's fine. Now, tractors probably won't go solar or battery powered for a long time because they need very high energy density. Tractors do a tremendous amount of work and burn a lot of diesel. But excavators do a lot less work. I don't know if you know that, but, you know, a typical excavator might only have a 40 horsepower diesel engine in it. And that's getting to the point where that can be replaced. I'm talking about a mini excavator that can be replaced by batteries, and you can charge your vehicles effectively with sunlight. So that day's coming. So maybe the greenies will cheer people using solar and getting off grid. Cause in that case, you're not burning fossil fuels, but you know, the greenies, they're just a cult anyway. So, you know, their opinions don't matter. They've never been rigorous thinkers. I'm a rigorous thinker, and I'm telling you that let's use combustion engines now while that's the technology in order to power our economy as we develop and deploy these other technologies. But we have to have open global trade. We have to stop the trade wars. We have to stop the tariffs. We have to stop the sanctions on Russia and the threats against China. We got to trade with Russia and China if we want to have economic abundance in America. And that's where Trump has gone wrong. He's been picking an isolationist path, which is going to be catastrophic for our economy, in my opinion. So if he can open things up, then he actually could make America great again, at least economically speaking. That's my take on it. You can follow my work at naturalnews.com, and you can hear more of my podcasts and interviews at brighteon.com. And I'm also launching a new video site now. It's called brightvideos.com. And it's sort of up and running right now. It's not officially launched yet. It's a little quirky. Like, the videos don't always play. I'm vibe coding that thing. So we'll let Claude Code work on it and sort out the bugs. But that's coming. So check it out. And thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams. And be well.
Enjoy our collagen peptide chocolate coconut drink mix. Formulated with collagen, coconut milk, rich cocoa, monk fruit, and pink Himalayan salt. Delicious and nourishing. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.